Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread. My name is Brad. I'm a beggar, and I host this podcast. That's convenient. This beggar has found bread, the bread of life, the Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth, and I hope to reveal this bread to others that they would lay down their lives to experience new life. This episode, I Don't Want to Die. Shout out to Atreyu for the title to this episode, straight out of Yorba Linda, California, yo. These guys have been around since the late 90s, bringing their brand of metalcore to the world, originally called Retribution. Once they were informed that there was already a band using that name, they changed to Atreyu, which is a shout out to a character from the movie The Neverending Story. They're releasing a new EP presently, and after finishing up touring with Memphis May Fire, they just put out a single from that EP, and I don't listen to a lot of Atreyu, but the single that they just released, it's titled I. It's in parentheses and a lowercase letter I. Well, it's actually got a good sound with some provocative lyrics. So, at any rate, it's not about the music. It's about the message, I don't want to die, which is actually connected with the true never-ending story. See what I did there? Welcome back. It's been a few weeks since our last episode, Blood and Water, where we wrapped up an overview of the book of 1 John, and I trust it challenged and blessed you. I've taken a little time to enjoy the fall feasts of Adonai, Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And for those who observe the appointed times, Adonai, I trust you were blessed in the time that you had, celebrating and observing those. And for those who haven't made observing these times a part of your faith and worship of the Most High, El Elyon, I encourage you to take a little bit deeper look into them. Look more into these appointed times. Each one of them points directly and specifically to the Master, Yeshua the Messiah. And they all have historical relevance, they have present-day application, and they have future significance. As I have come to understand and appreciate these appointed days and times, they've become a more significant part of my faith and relationship with Hashem through Yeshua. And there are so many layers and purposes to them with application for followers of Yeshua. And I would say, relating to the fall feasts, if all you see them as is an annual reminder of what is to come, that being the trumpet blast, final judgment, and eternal life dwelling, tabernacling with the Holy One, blessed be He, with a portion in His coming kingdom. If that's all you do is see them as, there is something in there for you to celebrate. They are much more than that. But even at that, with that application, there's something in there for followers of the Master, Yeshua the Messiah. That call to repentance and purifying ourselves as the day approaches. They're all quite amazing. Okay, that's your exhortation on the appointed times of Adonai, the Moedim. As typically happens during this time of year, I get the opportunity to reflect on my walk with Hashem as I follow Yeshua. And the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, stirs in me as the Father does His continued refining work in me through the Holy Spirit. And an area of concern and conviction which was revealed to me is how many things there are in which I seek satisfaction outside of Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God. Whether it's entertainment, food, possessions, material things, relationships, and even including in my marriage. And some of you may think, well, that sounds weird because, you know, the marriage relationship, even friendships, but the marriage relationship certainly has a very spiritual and biblical connection. And yes, it does. Here is what I have found. When I am rightly related to God, submitted, surrendered to Him completely, when my relationship with Him is on point, then everything else has its right place in my life. When I am in any point misaligned in my walk with Adonai, I will seek comfort, satisfaction, and/or validation in many and almost any earthly thing. Then, when those things or people don't meet my expectations, I become resentful, like a petulant child, pouty and entitled. What about me? Eventually, I do come back to the reality that no one or thing or situation apart from God Himself will ever provide me with true fulfillment. It says, and I believe it was C.S. Lewis who said something to the effect of, I seek God for answers and come to find it is in fact Him who is the answer. As Yeshua said, come unto me. Responding to that call, come unto me. That answers all of life's issues. So my present focus, which will be revealed in this episode, is what exactly it means to follow Yeshua, wholly and completely. I have excused and justified myself for not applying aspects of the faith because, well, those were different times back then, and it was an agrarian society, and the culture has changed so much, and in our society, there are just some aspects of what early believers did that we simply can't do in our time. Oh, well. Okay, but what can I do? I had a boss in the car business when I would come to him with all the reasons why this customer couldn't buy a car. He would listen to me, not always patiently, and then he would just simply ask, Brad, are you looking for a way in or a way out? Basically, do you want to find a reason to help this customer, or are you going to just justify your inability to help them and let them leave? In my faith, that question remains. Am I looking for a way in to live according to the example of the Master Yeshua, or am I looking for excuses and justification to absolve me from fulfilling my obligations as a proclaimed disciple of the Master? If I'm weary of hearing the excuses and justifications from others, I'm disgusted by my own mental concessions and validation of why I can't. When considering what the Apostle Paul wrote about taking every thought captive to the obedience of the Messiah, I've most often applied this in relation to sinful thoughts or impure thoughts, inappropriate thoughts, things like that. And I have applied that, taking every thought captive to the obedience of the Messiah. Well, taking my every thought captive and making it obey the Messiah, while there is certainly application for that scripture in what I just described, I believe that a broader use for this gift and form of warfare, spiritual warfare, comes when we receive a quick, instantaneous check from the Spirit of Elohim. Go speak to that person. Call so-and-so right now. Give that person the lunch you just bought for yourself. Countless other examples of that unction that He gives us, that prompting of the Spirit. And I'll speak for myself here. There are many times when I immediately start counting the cost and justifying why it may not be the best idea to act on that thought or that prompting. So, yeah, after all my thinking and justifying and validating, that probably wasn't really the Holy Spirit urging me to do that. And so when we don't act on His leading and direction, first of all, when we don't act on those things, we are denying others something God has for them. Something which He wanted to provide someone else through us. When we talk about those rivers of living water that the Master promised would come through those who would come to Him. Rivers of living water. Well, that's who those rivers of living water are for, those who God brings into our lives. And so we deny someone a blessing that the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted them to have. We also deny ourselves an immense blessing that comes from being obedient. It is better to give than to receive, Yeshua said. And there is blessing in our obedience. It is better to obey. God, He desires obedience over sacrifice. He wants us to be obedient in following Him. Yes, His written word, but also in following the leading of His Spirit to be obedient. Versus coming back after the fact and repenting. I know I should have acted on that. I know I should have followed. I know I should have done that. And I've got an example that just happened today that perhaps I'll get to. But the greatest danger in ignoring or justifying our way out of following the leading of the Spirit of Elohim, the greatest danger is that when we do ignore that still small voice of Adonai, it becomes increasingly harder to hear His voice. We harden our hearts and become ineffective as disciples and witnesses for the righteous one, the Tzaddik, the Master, Yeshua HaMashiach. When I say that in these situations, counting the cost is a negative, there may be some of you thinking, well, hold on a minute there. Jesus told us to count the cost. It's right there in the Bible. Well, we better understand context, because you're absolutely right. Those words are in there. He said that, count the cost. And what did He mean when He said that? He was telling people what it would take to follow Him. It's going to cost you everything. Counting the cost means look at all you have, money, food, resources, family, and friends, and acknowledge you must be willing to leave it all to follow the Master. That's what counting the cost means. It does not mean count your pennies and make sure you'll still have enough for you before giving charitably. Is your faith in your bank account and in your kitchen pantry, or is it in El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one? This is why it is said in the Torah that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Hashem. We must trust. We must have faith and act on that faith, and not think ourselves out of obedience. Taking our thoughts captive means when we get that inkling, that unction from the Holy Spirit, that prompting from Him, we take our thoughts captive to the obedience of the Messiah. I am going to obey Messiah in this. What would He have done? What would He do? What did He do? That's what I'm going to do. Take those thoughts captive and obey the Master. And my fear is that I'm becoming like that unfaithful servant in the parable, the one who buried the talent that he was given by his master. He fully justified what he shouldn't do, why he shouldn't do anything with it. He justified it. Why should I do nothing with this? Well, he counted the cost. My master is a hard man. He reaps from where he doesn't sow. let me just protect what he gave me. I'm scared. I'm going to protect what he gave me. I'm just going to bury it out back here. And then when he returns, I'll give it to him. And he'll have, at least he'll have what he gave me. Whew, phew. And the truth is, when I hold back from serving the Most High in the smallest point or the largest, I am telling Yeshua, I don't want to die. I don't want to die to myself. I don't want to give up that area of my life, that comfort, that security, that sense of pride, that time. I refuse to give up my right to myself in some area. I say that I am not my own. I say that, I quote that scripture often out of 1 Corinthians. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. Is it true? Or on my wrapping, is there some notification to the buyer, some items not included? You know, like batteries not included. What am I withholding from the Redeemer of my soul? He does not redeem in part, but the whole of me. So what reservations have I come up with after the purchase was made? In the Gospels, we read accounts of those who initially thought it was a good idea to follow Yeshua. Man, this guy, he's saying some things that we've never heard before. He's wise beyond his years. Look at that. He fed 5,000 people. Let's follow Yeshua. And then when they heard and saw all it would cost them, and they realized he wasn't fitting the idea they had in their mind of who the Messiah should be, they backed out. They hedged their bets and walked away. He taught hard things. Okay, well, you don't got me there. Sorry, I can't give that up. Unfit for the kingdom. See, it's fine when he fits all of our preconceived ideas of who we expect him to be. And then, when he delivers the big punchline, many of us aren't laughing. We're calling for him to be killed. Follow me. Such a simple statement, which we complicate in so many ways. The world tells us to follow our hearts. The prophet Jeremiah said that the heart is deceitful above all things. And Yeshua said nothing of following our hearts. He said, follow me. The world says to believe in yourself. Yeshua said, believe in me. The world says to find your truth. Yeshua said, I am the truth. The world says to do what makes you happy. Yeshua said, he who loses his life for my sake will save it. So what are we doing? What am I doing? When Yeshua called his disciples with a simple, follow me, they dropped everything to follow him. They learned his understanding of the scriptures, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. They studied his teachings. They memorized his customs, imitated him, and then taught others as they continued to seek to live as he lived. This was the expectation of anyone who became a disciple of a rabbi, any rabbi. That was the expectation of how you should be. If you put yourself under one's teaching and you became a Talmudim, a disciple of a rabbi, those were the expectations. How much more so the Son of the Living God, the Messiah? How much more should we apply those things? Follow him in his prayer life, in his study and knowledge of the word, the scriptures, in his actions, how he lived, his love, compassion, grace, mercy, justice, and righteousness. Eternal life is the big focus of many, and certainly not that it should be. It shouldn't be. I'm not saying it shouldn't be eternal life, a focus of ours. But of course, many look for the shortcut. What's the least I have to do to get into heaven, as is a common focus? What do I have to do? What do I have to say or confess that I believe in order to get into heaven? Not so much what do I have to do, right? Because doing, well, that's works. And yeah, anyway, we've been down that road before. We'll probably be down it again. Yeshua says, follow me. And actually, the two times that are recorded in the scriptures when he was asked that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The two times that it's recorded in scripture, his answer was the same. He was asked by a rich young ruler and by a Torah scholar, a rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life? A portion in the coming kingdom. His response was the same. Obey the commandments. And they each answered that they were doing these things. To the rich young man who found security in his wealth, Yeshua said, you lack one thing. Sell all you have, give to the poor, and follow me. To the rabbi who was seeking to withhold love from some of his neighbors, most likely the Samaritans at that time, to him, Yeshua told the parable of the Good Samaritan and asked who was a neighbor in that story, in that parable. We must be driven by faith and motivated by love in obeying God's law and commandments. What does it mean to follow Yeshua? I endeavor to dig further into this, into exactly what it means to follow him without reservation or without hesitation for myself, for my own life. And as to whether that will be an ongoing topic of this podcast, I guess that remains to be seen. But my hope is that in some way, every episode draws us closer to Hashem and is a challenge to deepen and strengthen our walk with him. We're told to take up our execution stake and follow the master to the death. That's the implication. No turning back, no excuses, laying down our lives to follow him, period. Those who don't want to die are simply not fit for the call. If we are not willing to lay down certain aspects of our lives, to lay down our lives, to die to ourselves in any area of our lives, what makes us think that we would be willing to die physically for our faith? We can't lay certain little things out of our lives. We justify why we need to keep them. When push comes to shove, if one is called to be a martyr and that situation arises, if we can't give up eating certain foods, if we can't give up certain relationships, if we're not willing to make sacrifices in our daily lives, what on earth makes us think that we would be willing to lay down anything when challenged in our faith? Deny your faith or you will die. Well, what makes us think that we would be willing to lay down our natural life, our body, if we're not willing to lay these other things down to follow the master? We are either all in or we are not in at all. Yeshua is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Are we looking to him as to how we should live? Are we just looking for the mountaintop experiences, hoping to live in a state of euphoria? And that's not realistic, and that's not what life in this present world is going to be like, living in that state of euphoria. You come out of a great worship service or something like that, and it's, oh, this is amazing. And they are. Those are amazing moments. But we're not called or not supposed to live in that state of euphoria here in this present world. We're gifted with those experiences as a foretaste of the coming kingdom. Motivation to continue in the drudgery of day-to-day life, because the best is yet to come. It's a foretaste. This is what it will be like. This is what the coming kingdom is going to be. Think about, you know, immediately following the miraculous appearance of Moses and Elijah with Yeshua on Mount Tabor, the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter is like, okay, I'm all in. This is what we need. This is the thing. Yep, something special is going on here. He wanted to build sukkahs for everyone so they could just stay up there. Like, okay, we're going to stay up here on this mountaintop. He didn't want to leave that amazing experience. And honestly, who would? I get it. He, John, and Jacob were witnessing the kingdom right there. Even as Yeshua had said, he had prophesied that there are some among you who will not die before they see the kingdom. These three were seeing the kingdom. Dude, I'm there. I want to be there. I want to stay there. But where did they go right afterwards? Peter makes that declaration, I'm going to build sukkahs for everyone. Yeshua's like, no. Follow me. And where did they go right afterwards? They went down from the mountain of bliss into the valley of the demon possessed. Yeah, that's right. If we are to follow Yeshua, we must do so in every point and through every experience on the path, following him. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the faithful companion. He has given us another comforter, that is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. His call is the same to us today, here and now, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this. Most of my listeners are somewhere in the United States of America, but some are in other places on this planet we call Earth. His call is the same to us today as it has ever been. The same call today as it was in the first century in Israel. Follow me. The response must either be yes or no. There is no, okay, but let me just do this, or let me do that first, or I'll follow you if I don't have to give up. Pass. No. Seek the Lord while he may be found. When you hear that call, follow me, there's no guarantee of another opportunity. Follow me. Is what Yeshua said. And my hope and prayer is that we will do just that. Follow him with all that is in us, not looking to the left or to the right, keeping our eyes fixed on Yeshua. Since he is the author and perfecter of the faith we claim, we would do well to fix our gaze on him unflinchingly, no distractions, following him. So I will briefly share an experience today that happened. I was driving, going to meet up with a friend. And as I'm on the road, I see a man hitchhiking. And it's pretty early in the morning. And he's got what appears to be all of his worldly possessions with him. Big backpack, all the things. And I'm driving and I look at him. And in that moment, I felt the prick, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. That I should pick this guy up. I kept driving. I justified in my mind as I was driving why it wouldn't be a good idea. I was meeting a friend for breakfast, had all these things going on. And he probably wants to go further than I'm going anyway. I'm only going a little ways up the road. So he probably doesn't even want to ride with me because he might want to ride to get him a whole lot further down the road. All those things ran through my head. So It didn't help me. It didn't comfort me. You know, in my mind, I was trying to justify and validate why I didn't do that. I ended up going a couple more lights up, made a U-turn, legal U-turn, BTW, just want you to know, it was legal, made a U-turn, went back, he was still there, I picked the guy up, and I am so grateful that I did. It turned out in our conversations that we actually knew some of the same people. You know, this guy was having a particular struggle that he was going through, and my friend and I were actually able to minister to this guy and share God's love with him. And I'm just super grateful to have had that opportunity that I was quickly justifying not following the leading of the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Spirit. And I'm grateful that there is repentance, and that I was able to follow through and obey what I was led to do. I want to do that first time around, though. I want to do it immediately, just have that immediate obedience to the Father and to the Holy Spirit when He prompts me to do things, and take my thoughts captive to the obedience of the Messiah, Yeshua, and follow Him. And yes, I'm grateful for repentance. I'm grateful for that continued opportunity there. Hashem desires obedience more than sacrifice. And that's what was on my heart when I did that. Is He desires it. It was good that I circled back. I repented. I circled back and I followed through. But how much more when I stop rationalizing in my mind why I shouldn't do this or that, and just take all my thoughts captive to the obedience of the Master and simply follow Him and just do what He would do. Please study to show yourselves approved of God. There is a lost and dying world out there that needs people to show them how to follow Yeshua. They need the bread of life. So let's go out and give them heaven. Until next time, may the favor that the righteous one, the Tzaddik, the Master Yeshua the Messiah, the author and perfecter of our faith, may the favor that He earned in the eyes of Hashem be upon you and all your household, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, reign in your hearts and minds in the Messiah Yeshua. Grace and peace. Chen Shalom.